start reading in verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Habakkuk had been praying, apparently, for some period of time. Despite his prayers, when he looks around, he sees violence. He sees God doing nothing about the violence. He sees sin. He sees iniquity everywhere he looks. He sees mischief. He sees trouble. Even God's law is ignored. And that's the thing that's supposed to keep everything together and working properly and pleasing to God. The wicked seem to have surrounded the righteous. And now even judgment is perverted. And finally, Habakkuk cries out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, must I call out for help?" Have you ever felt like Habakkuk? Have you ever had to wait on God to answer? Now, I'm sure you've had to wait many times in your life. Perhaps you've had to wait on food in a restaurant. You know, you order. Now, this would never happen at Miner's Diner, but you order, and the food just never seems to come. And somebody who sat down after you gets their food, but your food is still not there. You have to wait. I'm sure you've had to wait in traffic. I used to have to do that all the time, going down to Poway every day. I don't have to do that as much anymore now that I work second shifts. But I'm sure you've had to wait on a package that was back-ordered or lost. But have you ever had to wait on God? I'm sure most of us had. Perhaps you're waiting on a prayer to be answered. You've been diligent in praying. You've been consistent in praying, but the answer hasn't come. Now, I think we've all heard about how God answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But you've been praying and waiting, and the answer still hasn't come. Perhaps you're waiting on God to reveal his plan. What does God want me to do, you ask? Perhaps you're a young person, and you want to know what career direction God wants you to take. Perhaps you feel he might want you in some area of Christian service. And you've been praying about that, and you want clearer direction. Maybe you're wondering if God wants you to marry someone specifically. Perhaps you're waiting on God's timetable. You think you know what God wants you to do, but you're not sure when he wants you to start or how he wants you to go about doing that thing. Perhaps you're waiting on God's provision. You have a need, and you've been waiting on that. You have some specific physical need that you've been waiting on an answer about. You've read all the verses about God's provision. You've claimed all those promises, and still the answer has not come. Perhaps you're waiting on God's protection. You feel the attack of Satan because of something you're doing. And you've been praying about that, but you still don't feel God's protective hand. Whatever it is, you've been waiting. What do you do? How do you handle waiting? Waiting is not popular. We don't like to wait. There are thousands and thousands of web pages on the internet telling you how to speed up your computer so you don't have to wait that extra 2 seconds for your computer to boot up in the mornings. Every time you buy something online, they ask you, do you want to pay for expedited shipping so that you don't have to wait? The DMV tells you to make an appointment. That way you never have to wait at the DMV. You go to Disneyland or not, you can buy an express pass so that you don't have to wait in line. We don't like to wait. But waiting can be very important. God has a plan sometimes in waiting. I think we all have a story about how we were waiting behind someone, perhaps someone driving very, very slowly. You've never encountered that going down the hill where you're behind someone who's going really slow and won't pull over. And then you come upon an accident that happened just moments before, and you realize that if you would have gone the normal speed, you could have possibly been in that accident. You went from frustrated to overjoyed that you were not involved in that accident. So I want to go over this morning just a few things that we learn about waiting and a few things that waiting does. And I hope that, I don't have my watch on me, but I hope we'll be out early today. So everybody's excited about that. So here's a few things that waiting does. Waiting shows sincerity. People who are not sincere in their prayer won't wait very long before they stop praying. If you are sincere about your prayer, you are going to continually pray. If you're praying about the salvation of some lost loved one, you are going to pray and pray and pray and pray until that lost loved one comes to Christ, because you are sincere in that prayer. So waiting and praying shows our sincerity. Second, waiting builds patience. Now, you might think those are two words that you don't like. Most people don't like waiting, and similarly, most people don't like to have to show patience, because patience means you're waiting. You're not getting what you want. But patience is something that we need and something that we're going to have to use throughout our lives. And patience is something that God tells us we need to have. I think you probably all know Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Greek word for patience is hupomene, which means a steadfast waiting for, a hopeful endurance. Notice that it's an endurance waiting. It's hard to wait. It's not easy to wait. You want something, it's not easy to wait. I don't want to embarrass them, but I have 3 children. Now, Casey's 21 now, so not really a child anymore. Christina's 18. Cody John's 15, so really they're not children anymore. But they don't like to wait. Especially one of them. I won't tell you which one is the one, but there is one of them who desperately hates to wait. I don't know who would guess that. He sees something online that this person wants, and every 5 minutes, I found it cheaper. Look at this. Here's a video about it. Because he has to have it. He doesn't want to wait. Now, I try and teach him that if you wait, you might find something better, or you'll find you really didn't want that. How many of us have ever gotten something we desperately wanted, we went out of our way to get it, when we got it, you know, it really wasn't that great. I mean, you kind of got used to it after a while. I remember when I was a kid, we wanted a pool. Now, we lived in Michigan, so nobody had in-ground pools, which out here you never have above-ground pools, only have in-ground pools. But in Michigan, nobody had in-ground pools. You just bought an above-ground pool, and we wanted a pool. And boy, we were all over, we want a pool! And our parents finally gave in, came home one day, and they had bought a pool. Beautiful. 4 foot, around, you know, it was big. 4 foot tall, and I don't remember how big around it was, but it was a pool. And we were in that pool, well, not 24 hours a day because we had to go to school, but I mean, we wanted to sleep in the pool, we wanted to eat in the pool, we wanted to be in that pool all the time the first year. The second year, we went in the pool about half the time. The third year, I don't think we ever took the cover off the pool. And the fourth year, by about the fifth year, the pool was taken down, and it was just a dead patch of brown grass in the yard because we got tired of it. But then we decided we wanted a ping pong table. We had to have a ping pong table, and we will play ping pong all the time. Table tennis all the time. Once again, we got it, used it all the time. After about a year and a half, it became a table to store things upon. It was pretty good at that, too. It was nice and big, and you could store a lot of stuff on it. And I think it's still downstairs in my parents' house storing stuff upon. It is a big table. So sometimes the things you think you want, you don't really want. So I'm trying to teach him that. That just because you see something, you think, ooh, I want that, doesn't mean that you really want it. It just is a temporary thing. So waiting builds patience. Third, waiting makes readiness. Sometimes we aren't ready when we think we're ready. Sometimes we think, I am ready to do this, but we're not really ready to do it. Sometimes God makes us wait until He knows that we're ready to do what we want to do. Perhaps we don't have the experience that God knows that we'll need to do that thing, to fulfill that task. You know, everything we go through in life, all the things we go through, build our usefulness for God and His work. God might allow something that you don't like to come into your life because He knows in the future you're going to have to reach out and pull out that experience for some purpose that God has for you later. We all know Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together to good for them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. I think we wish it said all good things work together, but it says all things work together. Perhaps the best example of this is Moses. Moses, for 40 years, raised in Egypt, trained in Egypt to be a leader, had the best schools, the best training, had the best, everything was great about his life. But he wasn't ready for the work that God had for him to do. God knew what he was going to do in the future, and he wasn't ready. He might have thought he was ready to do anything, but he wasn't ready for what God had. So God had to work it out so that he spent 40 years raising sheep and leading sheep, because God knew that that experience was what he needed in order to serve God in the future, to be ready. So just because we think we're ready doesn't mean God thinks we're ready. We need to be patient. Sometimes God says, wait, because you're not ready yet to do the thing that God wants you to do. Fourth, waiting builds strength. Now this kind of goes against what you think. You don't build physical strength by saying, I'm going to wait to lift weights. You're not going to build any physical strength. You build strength by lifting weights. But in this sense, if we get tired of waiting for God, we start doing things in our own strength. We use up that strength, and then we tire. Instead of waiting for God's strength and using God's strength. So that waiting will build strength in your life because you'll be relying upon God and His strength. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. And this verse you know. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We get strength from waiting on the Lord because we're using His strength instead of our strength. So here's a couple of lessons while you're waiting, because all of us are going to have to wait. Every person here is going to be waiting at some point on God. First, make sure that you're right with God. The Israelites had to wait 40 years to enter the promised land, because when the first opportunity came, they weren't right with God. God instructed Moses to send out 12 spies to go throughout the land and scout it out and find out all about it and bring back a report how great it was and how wonderful it would be. And when they came back, they said, "It's great, it's wonderful. It's a land of flowing with milk and honey, and the crops grow well, and the animals, it's perfect land for us." But there's strong cities there with big walls, and they have big armies, and there are giants in the land. And the people said, "Oh no." And they refused to obey God and to go into the land. So God said, "All right, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until every adult that didn't obey me has died." Sometimes God makes us wait because there's something between us and Him, or maybe between us and another believer. And we need to get right before God will allow us to move ahead. We have to wait. Second, memorize verses about waiting. You know, memorizing verses is hard for some people. Some people it's easy. Casey is easy. I mean, I don't think it's easy, but she seems to be able to do it well. But memorize verses about the blessing of waiting. You know, as I've said before, as a Christian, you need to know why you believe what you believe. You could have someone come up to you and say, "Why do you believe this particular thing about Christianity?" Some people might say, "Well, because my pastor got up and he preached and he said we ought to believe that." That's not a very good answer. Sometimes you might get up and say, "Well, because my pastor said the Bible says this." Well, that's better, but it's still not a great answer. You need to be able to say, "I believe this about my faith because I know what the Bible says. The Bible says this. I'm not relying upon what someone else thinks I should believe. This is what I believe and why I believe it." If you're having to do a lot of waiting, look up, study, memorize verses on waiting on God. There's a lot of verses on waiting on God, because we all have to wait. You'll be surprised how many there are. You know, memorizing verses is something we're supposed to do. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We're supposed to put God's word in our heart so we can explain to others why we believe what we believe. So memorize verses. Third, keep busy while you're waiting. Don't use waiting as an excuse to stop doing something. If you're doing something for God, keep doing it while you're waiting for further instruction. No matter what God has for you in the future, He has something for you to do right now. Keep doing it. Keep busy. Some of the greatest missionaries in the world, talking about missionaries this month, spread the word of God for long periods of time before they saw any fruit. Adoniram Judson was one of the first missionaries into Burma, and he labored for 6 years before the first convert came out of his mission. 6 years he labored, preaching and teaching and working and witnessing before one person trusted Christ. He was so excited about it, he wrote it down in his journal. The man's name was Meng Nao. And on June 27th, 1819, he wrote in his journal, "Oh, may it prove to be the beginning of a series of baptisms in the Burman Empire, which shall continue in uninterrupted success to the end of the age." And when Adoniram Judson died in 1850, there were over 100 churches with over 8,000 members in Burma because he waited. In Western Africa, 14 years before the first convert. In New Zealand, 9 years before the first convert. In Tahiti, 16 years before the first convert. Sometimes you have to wait in order to see that blessing from the Lord. But keep working, keep busy, keep doing it, even if you don't seem like you're getting any results. Even if God's making you wait, keep going. Now, this is really similar, but prepare while you're waiting. Prepare while you're waiting. If you're praying about being on the mission field, study and read about and learn about missionaries. Learn about the mission field. You say, "Well, I don't know where God wants me to go yet. I just think He might want me to be a missionary." Read about missionaries in general. Study them. Learn about them. If you're praying about marriage, who does God want you to marry? Read books. Study on what God says about marriage. Read good books about how to be a good husband, a good wife. Study those things. God wants a prepared people for His work. He doesn't want people, He wants people who are excited, but not just people who are excited and running without being prepared. He wants people who are prepared and ready. So prepare while you're waiting. Number 5, don't stop waiting. If you're praying, keep praying. Keep praying until God clearly gives you the answer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Notice it doesn't say pray without ceasing unless you get really busy, or unless you're tired, or unless you can't wait anymore. It just says pray without ceasing. You need to pray and pray and pray and wait and wait and wait and wait until God clearly answers your prayer. Next, realize you aren't alone in waiting. Everybody at some point has to wait on God. Now, it might seem like you're alone. It might seem like you are the only person that God makes wait, especially when you look up and see the jar full of answered prayers. You might think, how come I can't get a prayer in that jar? And you might even get mad at the Lord. Why am I still praying when all these other people are getting answered prayers? But remember what Jesus said to the apostles, the group of apostles, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. They didn't know how long. Jesus didn't say wait in there for 8 days or 10 days or 10 years. He didn't tell them how long. He just said, "Wait, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Wait until you get the power from on high." We read earlier how Isaiah told us to wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. Jesus tells us concerning His return to watch and wait. We don't know when He's coming back. We're supposed to wait, anxiously wait for His return. And this is the most important one, I think. I think this is the most important one to remember. Be ready for something different than you expect. Be ready for something different than you expect. Back to Habakkuk. God does answer Habakkuk's prayer. Just shortly after, he said, "How long, O Lord, must I wait?" He does answer. But not to Habakkuk, but through Habakkuk. Now, we don't know exactly what Habakkuk wanted God to do. He was complaining about being unrighteousness and violence and sin in the land. I'm sure he was praying for God to clear that and to cleanse that and to take care of all of those who are sinning and not living according to God's word. But this is God's plan. Habakkuk 1, 5, and 6. "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. God's answer is yes, I'm going to get rid of the sin in the land. I'm going to get rid of those who are involved in violence and perverting the law of God. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring the Babylonians. They're going to come. They're going to conquer the land. They're going to put you in slavery for 70 years. There you go. Prayer answered. I don't think that's what Habakkuk was praying about or praying for. That's probably not the answer that Habakkuk expected. The Babylonians, a pagan empire, is going to come and conquer the land. And the people will be taken into captivity. Many of them, most of them, dragged off into foreign lands as slaves. It was so shocking to Habakkuk that he couldn't believe it. He even asked God why. Talking to God, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. Why do you look on those that deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devour a person more righteous than he? It was like Habakkuk was saying to God, God, you're like a doctor who says your leg is broken, so we're just going to cut the leg off. Why are you using the Babylonians? Why are you using the wicked to answer my prayer? Why don't you just shoot down lightning bolts or hail and blast them into smithereens and let the rest of us who are living right be good? How could you use them, God? Now, before we get too hard on Habakkuk, I don't think he meant to mean that God was wrong in his plan. I think he knew that God was never wrong. He just didn't understand God's plan. Look what he says in chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Sometimes we pray to God, and this is our problem sometimes. We not only pray to God and say what we want, but we tell God how he ought to do things in order to get what we want. Hey, God, I need to get back and forth to work, so you need to get me a new car. Well, maybe God says, well, I don't need to get you a new car. I'm just going to open a bus station around the corner from your house. Sometimes we look at God and say, God, this is what I need, and this is what you have to give me to meet that need. And just saying, instead of saying, God, this is my need, however you get there, I'll be happy with it. I think most of us know Jeremiah 33:3 by heart. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, but that's not the end, which thou knowest not. If we pray, God says he will answer and show us great and mighty things. But we don't know what those great and mighty things are. So how can we pray to God and ask him to do something when he has great and mighty things that we don't know anything about? You know, when we pray and we have to wait and we don't hear an answer, sometimes I think we need to be like Habakkuk. And we need to say, God, this is what I think I need. This is what I believe I need. I don't know how to get there. I don't know what I need, what needs to happen for me to get the answer to this prayer, but you do. Please get me to this point or answer this prayer. Whatever it takes. And when God answers, if he answers in a way that's different than we would think, we need to say, God, I don't understand, but I know that your way is correct. I know that your plan is better than my plan. And even though I don't understand it, help me to accept it. Even if I can't believe it, help me to trust in you. The Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to trust in him. When we're waiting, keep waiting. When God answers, whatever his answer is, we need to trust in him. Believe that his way is the best way and accept that his answer is the best answer for our needs. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to pray. We thank you for the opportunity we have to wait, even though we might not like it. It's important. And there's a reason you're having us wait. But Lord, we ask that you'd help us to understand that you want us to wait at times, and sometimes your answers are not our answers, but your answers are better than our answers. For a moment, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just pray to the Lord. Maybe there's something that God spoke to your heart about this morning. Maybe you've been waiting on an answer and God hasn't given the answer. Maybe God has given the answer and you kind of fought against the answer because it was different than your answer. Just take a moment and pray and ask God to kind of work in your heart a little bit, make you a little more yielded to his plan, to his way. Because God has a plan for everybody. And a path for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 65 years old. God has a plan for everyone in this room. And he wants us to follow his plan. Just take a moment and pray.